Amen. We're glad you're here. We're delighted that you're here today. We have part two of a message that a very special brother, very dear to me, and a great a friend to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the body of Christ. I've known for several years now, many years. Some of you have known him even longer. But there's not a man that, in my opinion, has a sweeter spirit of Christ in him than this man that is going to again step into this pulpit. Has a great heart for people. Probably given out thousands and thousands of books. We can't even count them. Has read over 500 books himself. He has an accomplished semi-retired now. I say semi, he's retired from 30 years of ministry to people here in the valley. It's been a great blessing. And God has given him a message, and I witnessed with him as soon as he said the word. He said, "Pastor, I really believe God is saying lifestyle." And I said, "Brother, I witness with that. The lifestyle of the believer is becoming so important in this hour because there's such mixed lines." Amen. And the lifestyle of the unbeliever in contrast to the lifestyle of the believer. And today, one of the greatest subjects I believe that people, one of the greatest questions people have ever asked me, and this is my 40th year of senior pastoral ministry, is how can I hear the voice of God? And that is the message today that our brother is going to bring, hearing God's voice. Would you stand with me and celebrate one of God's finest servants? Would you welcome back to this pulpit again, my good friend, amen, Minister Michael Medicis. Teacher, minister, God bless you, my brother. Take your liberty.
Thank you. Thank you. Could we pray, please? Well, Heavenly Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving. We enter your courts with praise. Father, we come on bended knee and ask for your anointing and ask that every word that's spoken would glorify you. What doesn't come from you, Lord, we ask that you would erase. What does come from you, we ask that you would multiply in the hearts of your people. We bless you and we worship you and submit to you, God of all faithfulness, God of all blessing, God of all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have a seat, please, if you would. The message this morning I'm going to make very brief because I know we're already late here in the hour. But I felt like there was a part two to the lifestyle message that I mentioned. And one of the things that I hear asked by other people of me over and over again, and I've asked for many years, is how do you hear God speak? And first I wanted to touch on how important it is to hear the Word of God, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." So there's a question sometimes in people's minds and hearts about whether we can, as individuals, hear God's voice. Some people say, no, you can only hear the voice of God in His book, in the Bible. Some people say, no, you can only hear God by His Holy Spirit. And some say that you can't hear God except in a corporate setting. Well, all of those things are answered by the truth, and that's the Spirit of truth, that the Holy Spirit brings His Word out of the book, and He brings His Word in any way that He chooses to bring it, but it always lifts up the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And so one of the things that I want to touch upon this morning is, how does God speak? Do all believers hear God? Or can all believers hear God? And how important is it to hear God? So I'm going to mention a couple things that, examples that I've had in my life that I think might be helpful. First, I remember asking a friend, back in Boston when I was visiting with him, a minister of the Word, "How does God speak to you, Jim?" And I'll never forget that Jim said, "Well, God speaks many ways, but one of the ways He speaks to me is in a still small voice," or he said he takes, like, if you would take like clay and put it in your hands, and then you would ever so gently press your thumb into that clay, that there's an impression that's made. And sometimes that's the way God speaks to me, is He speaks in an impression, in a still small voice, in an impression, in a prompting. But clearly, the voice of the Holy Spirit can be recognized, And clearly it's important that we acknowledge not just that he speaks, but that he speaks to us. And he wants to speak to every one of us. It is critical and important that we hear God's voice. It's not something that is a formality. It's not something that is that we can ignore. It is absolutely essential in this hour that if we want to walk the lifestyle of the Lord Jesus, and we want to walk as a believer today, that we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives and in our lives, in our jobs, in our businesses, in whatever we think, do, or say, that we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and we read God's book. And God will often speak again in many ways, but certainly through his book, through the still small voice, through impressions, through promptings, through circumstances, through prophecy. God speaks through prophecy. And the point I wanted to make is that the Holy Spirit isn't limited in the way he can speak, in how he'll speak or when he'll speak. Sometimes we limit him, but he's not limited. I was watching a program last night with my wife, program on TV called, gosh, I can't remember. It's about the office, it's about cops and, in New York City. Blue Blood is the name of it. Tom Selleck and Donnie, gosh, can't remember his last name. Walt, what is it? Yeah, Walbert. And the father, the grandfather of the group said, God speaks a lot and speaks often, but his words were, you have to listen very carefully for his response. And I wrote it down in my notes, and I thought, well, yeah, that's right on. That's the way the Holy Spirit speaks. He's a gentleman, and he speaks very, very, very gently. And so if we want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, he wants to speak to us far more than we want him to speak. All we have to do is read his word and ask, seek, and knock for him to speak to us. That's what Jesus said. Ask and you shall receive. He didn't say you might. He said you shall. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. So Jesus is the good shepherd, speaks with his flock and speaks with each one of us on a daily basis and in our lives in ways that sometimes we don't recognize. My brother, Brother Culverson, asked about my experience as an attorney. And one of the things he mentioned brings to mind a story that I wanted to tell this morning. One day I was in court, or I was walking over to court, and I was in front of the clerk's desk, and a prosecutor who's a friend of mine was standing there. And while he was standing there, he was talking to me, and I was talking to the clerk, and there was a third person talking, and it was the voice of the Holy Spirit. And while everybody was talking, I was intrigued, and I started listening. And the Holy Spirit, who's such a gentleman, wouldn't interrupt my conversation, but gave me mercy and grace to hear him. And he talked to me about Jesus, and he talked to me about Jesus and his position and what he did on this earth, that he healed the sick, that he cast out demons, that he brought the truth in everything he thought, that he did, and that he said. And yet he was wrongfully arrested, falsely accused. There was a kangaroo court and a judge who sentenced him to the ultimate penalty, and that's the penalty of death. And so the Holy Spirit, while I'm in court talking to me, said Jesus was the ultimate defendant. That is, Jesus was the one that bore all of our sicknesses, all of our illnesses, and that he went through everything so that we didn't have to. And the Holy Spirit said he was the ultimate defendant because he took our ultimate penalty, the penalty of death. And then the Lord asked me a question, and he said, where is he now? And I said in my heart, well, Lord, he's at the right hand of the Father. And the Lord said, well, what is he doing there? And I said, well, he's interceding. And the Lord said, well, what does the book say that he is? I said, well, the book says he's an advocate. And the Lord said, what is that? And I said, well, that's a lawyer. He's advocating for us at the right hand of the Father. And the Lord said to me, or the Spirit of the Lord said to me, Son, he went from being the ultimate defendant, and now he's the ultimate lawyer. He's the lawyer of the universe. Now, I mention that because Brother Culverson, Pastor Culverson, asked about this a few weeks ago, and it quickened it to me again that here was the Holy Spirit gracious enough to talk to me in the middle of my workday, only because he gave me grace and mercy to listen. But he'll talk to us anytime he wants to, if we're willing to listen. I'll give another example. My wife, one day has this room that she, goes into, and we don't lock that door because we don't have a key. But I walked out of that room with her one day and I locked the door for some reason. She said, "Why'd you do that?" And said, "Don't really know, but we're going to have to get a locksmith on Monday or, a locksmith to open the door." And I thought about it, and I probably waited 5 or 10 minutes, and fortunately, I asked the Lord, again, his mercy and grace. I thought in my spirit, "Lord, is there anything that can be done before Monday?" And the Lord said, "Use your credit card." I thought, well, that sounds reasonable. I don't exactly know what you mean, Lord. But he actually showed me that I was to take the card and insert it in between the framing of the door and the door. And it was one of those locks that would open that easily. And so a simple credit card opened the door. But it was the Spirit of the Lord who cared enough about the details of my life to talk with me. I had already messed up by locking the door. But God is so gracious and good that he spoke about something that didn't matter to anybody but my wife and I, and yet it mattered to the Lord. And that's my point this morning, that God cares about everything that we think, do, and say. And we need to, if we want to walk the lifestyle of the believer, we need to not just read God's word, but we need to listen to the voice of his Holy Spirit. The enemy will do anything and everything to prevent us from hearing God. The Lord says in his book, in the book of Hebrews, 4 times in 2 chapters, "Today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts." In other words, be sensitive enough to listen. How many people hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, I don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit." My response is, "Well, that's maybe because you're hard of hearing." And that's because we need sometimes a hearing aid. We need some help to hear God. And so that's why I mention sometimes the ways the Lord speaks to me is through the still small voice, through promptings, through impressions. Sometimes he speaks audibly, although I've never heard the Lord that way. But he speaks any way that we'll listen. God will find a way to speak to us if we're willing to listen. I want to mention one other thing that I think is interesting in the Word, and that's a miracle that Jesus performed just before he went to the cross. How many remember that Peter whipped out his sword and cut off the servant of Caiaphas, cut off his ear? How many remember that in the book? Well, the Lord one day impressed upon me that I should take a look at this, and so I did. He cut off the ear of a servant named Malchus. Now, Malchus was a servant, but his name means king. And so he was a servant, but he was also a king. The Bible says that we're kings and priests to God. And what Jesus did, because it was important to hear, and was important for Malchus to hear, was Jesus picked up his ear and put it back on. And he did that, as I can see, one of the last miracles before dying on the cross. I say that because that's how important hearing God is. It was important enough for Jesus to heal the ear of Malchus and put it in his book. And Malchus, again, means king. Jesus did it for a purpose. The Holy Spirit put it in the book for a reason. And I believe the reason is because in the lifestyle of the Christian today, it is absolute and critically important that we hear the voice of God. And that's on a daily basis. And if we're not hearing God speak, it's not because he's not speaking. It's often because we're hard of heart. Sometimes we need to confess sin. Sometimes we just need to spend time with God in His Word. But all we have to do is say, Lord, what do I need to do to hear You? What have I done that has offended You? And the Holy Spirit, who's a gentle person again, will always respond. Jesus will always, when we come to the throne of mercy, of grace, to find mercy and grace to help in time of need, the Holy Spirit will always respond to that request. Jesus will always respond and give us mercy and give us grace. And so that's really the message this morning. I don't need to make it long and burdensome. I just, again, wanted to talk about the fact that the Lord takes His book very, very seriously, and His voice we need to take very seriously. And if we're feeling oppressed, or we're feeling as if somehow God doesn't speak anymore, or God doesn't want to speak to me, or God doesn't want to speak because of something I've done, let me assure you, God is absolutely interested in everybody sitting here, and He absolutely and critically wants to speak to everyone sitting here, and He will if we'll listen. So I would encourage everyone here today to, again, do what the Bible says, and that is today, if you hear His voice, when God put that in His book, He knew that I would say this morning, because He knows everything from the ages, from the end to the beginning. You say, well, I thought it was from the beginning to the end. No, that's our way of seeing things, but God knows the end from the beginning. He knew what was going to be said here. And I know that God wants us to have a tender heart, and I know that I need to have a tender heart to hear Him. And I also know that it's today, if I'll listen, I'll hear His voice. I don't have to think about or worry about hearing Him tomorrow or whether I heard Him yesterday. Today, if I'll listen, the Holy Spirit will speak to me, and He will communicate with me, because that's His greatest desire. God wants to fellowship with us, and if we're going to fellowship with others in the world, we're going to have to live a lifestyle that represents Jesus of Nazareth. And to do that, we're going to have to know what's in God's book. We're going to have to know the voice of His Holy Spirit, listen and follow His promptings, His impressions, as we would follow any other king, because we're His servants, and we want to serve Him in every way we can. And if we do this, God will certainly pour out blessings on us, because that's His desire, to be one with us and to enjoy that fellowship with us that we enjoy in any other intimate relationship. God wants that relationship with us. Unfortunately, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders at the time that Jesus came, a lot of those fellows didn't want to fellowship with the Lord. They didn't want to talk to Jesus. Jesus wanted to talk to them. Jesus just wanted to spend time with them and share what was in His heart and on His mind. And He'll do that with us as well. That's His heart's desire, that we live the lifestyle and we follow Him. And if we'll do that, He's going to be speaking with us on a consistent and a constant basis. And in that, we'll find joys and pleasures forevermore. So I'm going to close this morning and just encourage everyone to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit today. If you've heard Him yesterday or even today, ask Him again, Lord, speak with me. Tell me what You want from me. Tell me what You want to say to me. Talk to Him and be open with Him, because that's His desire, to fellowship with us. And He'll do it on a daily basis, because He says in His book, today, if you hear My voice, don't harden your heart. And that's a very important part of the lifestyle of the believer. I've got a lot of notes and a lot of things I could say, but nothing more important than maybe we could pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We enter Your gates again with thanksgiving and Your courts with praise. Lord, we ask today that Your name, Jesus of Nazareth, Your name would be lifted up in our hearts. Father, that You give us sensitive hearts, hearts that hear You, hearts that drown out the world, the flesh, and the devil, hearts that are willing to come to you on bended knee, even with our brokenness, even with our sin and iniquity, willing to come to you, willing to come boldly, come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the sweet Holy Spirit will speak to us. Father, we thank you for this, and we bless you, and we praise you for everything you've done for us and everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. It's always been important to hear God's voice. But how many know the times we're living in, it's very important now? Amen. And how many have ever felt impressed not to do something, not to go somewhere, not to make that turn, whatever, and you did it anyway and thought, man, I felt like I wasn't supposed to go that way, and now look at what now look at what the mess I'm in, you know? Have you ever been there? You know, I know you have. You all real here. Ain't no angels here. You all people. Okay. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Well, that's the Holy Spirit impressing us. Amen. And I'm seeing more and more every day, Brother Michael. God is answering our prayers. One of the greatest prayers, I think, the greatest prayer is, Lord, help. Lord, I love you. Help. Show me. Amen. He showed me. I prayed with my wife many times. We lost the keys, lost this, lost that. Say, Lord, you know where it's at. Bring it out of its hiding place. We just pray it'll come out of its hiding place. How many have ever had some kind of, you prayed in God and you found what you're looking for? How many have prayed and you never found what you're looking for? Sometimes it works both ways. When my firstborn quickly, I got about 7 minutes here before noon, ran down the hall in the house. She had something of mine. She could run fast. That little girl, she was about 18 months. She wasn't 2 years old yet. She ran fast down that hall. And I don't know if she put it in the wall. There was a little hole or something. But I never did find that. Amen. I could have prayed till I was blue, and I was not going to find that. And then we couldn't find her, what we called a chupon, her pacifier. And one day, Mom cooked something in the oven and pulled something out, and there it was. Hallelujah. Amen. It's important. Those are just little things. But God has shown us where things are so many times. And it helps eliminate a lot of the frustration in life. Because there's a real adversary out there. And he's always trying to harass and frustrate us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I don't mean I see demons everywhere. I'm just telling you, we have a real adversary that wants to harass us. And God does not want us to be harassed and stressed. And so if we just ask God, God, show me where that's at. Help me with that. I'm finding more and more, and I hope you're finding it too. And I don't think it's just because of me, because I mean, we're all God's favorites. And I'm finding that the more I'm asking God for help, the quicker he is answering that call for help. I mean, he's just impressing, like you said, brother, just showing me what to do in situations that I don't know what to do in, that there was no answer for, but God had an answer, and God brought the answer. And it was just an impression again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Use your credit card. Amen. Isn't that a great word from God? But use it in the right way. Amen. You don't want to preach that message to a room full of burglars. Amen. That would not be good. That would not be good. Can I leave you with a word I heard earlier this morning? And I'll let you go for Valentine's. Is that okay? All right, I'll get out of your way. Hallelujah, so you can celebrate. It was entitled February 14th. It was a little Joyce Meyer's book, Starting Your Day Right, Devotions for Each Morning of the Year. The devotion today that blessed me earlier was Bless Somebody. Somebody say, Bless Somebody. Hallelujah. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, in due season, and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. I hear courage is a key word God's been speaking in my heart for the last couple of weeks. Courage, courage. I got a word coming on courage. And it takes courage to live in this day and age, does it not? It takes courage to get up in the morning and do what you got to do. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. Some of you can preach that better than I can. Amen. She says this real short word, couple paragraphs. The word says that each one of us make it a practice to please, make happy his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him, to strengthen him, and build him up or her up spiritually. Romans 15:2. Let each one of us, somebody say, let each one of us. I may believe he's just talking to somebody else, but he's not talking to you. No, each one of us builds and makes somebody happy. Amen. You make somebody happy, God makes you happy. God has a lot of happy people. It says this tells me that we need to have our mind full of ways to bless people. Early in the day, think up something you want to do to bless someone. Think up something you can do to surprise somebody or to make somebody happy. You will be amazed at how quickly the Lord leads you to something good you can do for someone. Joy comes from giving on his behalf. Amen. I just felt like the Lord is giving us opportunities. And joy comes from giving. Maybe it's just a smile. Just say, sister, you know, I just really appreciate you. Brother, thank you for being here. Amen. God bless your day today. God bless your Valentine. Amen. Just something to build up and lift up. And really, how many know that God is using that voice as his voice through your voice? God's speaking to people. One of the best ways he does is to speak through you to say, you know what? You're really beautiful today. You know? And if you're not beautiful, you're handsome. Look at somebody next to you. If they're handsome, don't call them beautiful. But if they're beautiful, don't call them handsome. Go and tell somebody, you know, you really are beautiful. You are really handsome. Come on, you really are beautiful. You really are handsome. You know, yeah, you really are. If I had more hair like that, I'd gone a lot further in life. Yes. Hallelujah. You really are beautiful. You really are beautiful. Somebody needs to hear that today, because we deal with such an unbeautiful world in so many ways, and things that are not so beautiful in situations. And so if we can share a little beauty, God's voice through us. Thank you, Michael. It's like hearing God's voice. You'd be surprised what just one word can do to help somebody. People have averted committing suicide because somebody took time to just speak a word that God gave them. Even in service, just like this. You never know where somebody's at. So as we listen to the Lord, as our brother was sharing, and just something small from time to time, it may seem small, but it can be big to that person. Amen. God loves you. I love you. You are his Valentine. Always will be. Amen. And he is our greatest Valentine. Amen. Why don't you just give him some love right now? Just thank God and praise him. Thank you for coming today. God bless you. Happy Valentine's Day and happy Valentine's life. Amen. You're loved. God loves you. I love you. Go with God. Amen. God bless you real good.